Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes every day where the life of Jesus meets yours. On this frigid January 31st, we have your Bible reading from the second half of Luke chapter 20. Beginning in verse 20. They watched him carefully and sent spies who pretended to be sincere so that they could trap Jesus in something he said and then deliver him up to the power and authority of the governor. They questioned him, "Teacher, we know that you say and teach what is right and show no partiality to anyone, but you teach the way of God on the basis of the truth. Is it right for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But he is aware of their deceit and said to them, "Show me a denarius whose image and inscription are on it." "Caesar's," they answered. He said to them, "Then give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." They were not able to trap him in what he said in the presence of the people. They were amazed at his answer and became silent. Some of the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him. They asked him a question. "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no children, his brother should take that wife and raise up children for his brother. So there were seven brothers. The first took a wife and died childless. The second took her as a wife, and so did the third, and in the same way the seven died and left no children. Finally, the woman died too. So in this resurrection, whose wife will she be? For the seven had her as a wife." Jesus said to them, "The people of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy to experience that age and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. In fact, they cannot die any more, for they are like the angels. They are sons of God because they are sons of the resurrection. Even Moses showed in the account about the burning bush that the dead are raised when he called the Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for all are alive to him." Some of the experts in the law answered, "Teacher, you have spoken well." Then they no longer dared to ask him anything. Jesus said to them, "How is it that they say that the Christ is David's son? David himself says in the book of Psalms, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet.' So David calls him Lord. Then how is he his son?" When all the people were listening, Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of the experts in the law who like to walk around in long robes and love greetings in the marketplaces, the best seats in the synagogues, and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and offer long prayers to look good. They will receive greater condemnation." This is the word of our God. So the discussions continue. Monday, maybe Tuesday of Holy Week, and this crowd comes up to talk to him. And here, after Jesus had spoken that parable of the tenants, of those tenant farmers who had beaten all the servants that the master had sent, and then had thrown the son of the master out of the vineyard and killed him. After following on that parable, then those who are opposed to him ramp up their attacks. And the thing to keep in mind here is that there are various political parties as well as religious parties. So in Palestine in Jesus' day, there were the Pharisees. That was a religious group. That was also a political group. They kind of straddled the two. And the Pharisees had kind of grown up around, I don't know, 500, maybe 400 BC after the return from the exile and after the new temple was built. And their exact purpose was to try and maintain some sense of religious life in Palestine, so that this new temple wouldn't get destroyed, because God had said the reason that Solomon's temple was wiped off the face of the earth was the apostasy of the people of Israel. And so the Israelites said, "Well, we can't let that happen again," and they go about it in very much the wrong way. These Pharisees set up what we call a hedge around God's law, where if God's law says, you know, don't do any work on the Sabbath day, then they'll expend all the effort defining what is work and what isn't work. Or if God's law had said, you know, for instance, don't walk a mile on the Sabbath day, they would go so far as to say, well, only walk 400 yards at a time. And in trying to set up a hedge around God's law or little laws that they could meet, they missed the point of God's law entirely. It wasn't law for the sake of law. It was law that was teaching them that forgiveness could only be found and was absolutely necessary to come from God, that they could not stay clean, for instance, on their own merit. And so that's the Pharisees, and the Pharisees make up the bulk of the Sanhedrin, which is the Jewish ruling council, that group that has religious authority in the land and also limited political authority, but they don't have the authority to execute somebody. They do have some authority in carrying out a quick religious execution in the case of blasphemy, or if somebody that was unclean, like a Gentile person, had entered the court of the Jews. So that's the Pharisees. The Sadducees are the strange group. They're kind of the rationalists or the humanists or the realists of the group. They only hold to the first five books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, as actually the Word of God. And they disregard the rest, and they throw away any idea of the afterlife. And they scoff at that. And so you kind of see some of that in their question. In this resurrection, isn't the resurrection a silly, stupid idea? In this resurrection, whose wife will she be? Much of the world today is made up of so-called Sadducees, people who pick and choose from the Bible what they want to believe, and who have their own rationalistic, humanistic ideas about how God works. But that's the Sadducees. The Herodians are those who support King Herod and are kind of the political party of King Herod. And Matthew tells us that the Herodians were some of those who were going to Jesus to talk about taxes. And that's an interesting element that Matthew brings in for us, because it really demonstrates that Jesus didn't have a right answer, or so they thought. And finally, the last group to mention is the Zealots. Like Simon, one of the apostles, is a Zealot. These were the crazies who wanted to overthrow Rome and reestablish an Israelite kingdom on earth. So that's kind of the political religious scene, so to speak. And so with all that in the background, these people go to Jesus. Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? And you've got the group that are supporting Herod and the Pharisees who are there. And together, the Pharisees are waiting for Jesus to say, no, it's not right to pay taxes to Caesar. And then they can spring into action. Jesus, you just spoke against Caesar. How dare you? And the Herodians are there waiting for Jesus to say, yes, it is correct and proper to pay taxes to Caesar. And the Herodians would be able to say, well, are you really sure of that? Because we've got Herod, and Herod is actually our king. And Jesus answers them, well, look at your money. Who's on it? Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God's what is God's. Perhaps especially appropriate as you go about gathering the documentation for preparing your own taxes. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, but no more, and to give to God what is God's. And realistically, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. But he entrusts into our hands the ability to manage our money in a way that glorifies him and that fulfills our responsibilities, even to the government. Then the Sadducees come. And it's nice that Luke includes that note about the Sadducees saying there is no resurrection. They don't think that it makes any sense. They ridicule the idea of a resurrection from the dead, and they don't see any resurrection happening in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, or Deuteronomy, right? This silly resurrection, come on. They've got this law called the Law of the Levirate, where the sibling or the brother would provide an heir for his widowed sister-in-law. And these men used the opportunity of that law to ridicule the idea of the resurrection. Surely you can't be serious. Besides, it's not mentioned in the Torah. And Jesus turns to them, says, oh yeah, that part about Moses at the burning bush around 1400 BC. What does God call himself? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he's not saying there that I am the God whom these Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob worshipped, but Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are long gone. He says, I am their God. I was their God then, and I still am their God today. So the existence of the afterlife demonstrates the reality of the resurrection. And maybe that's the other part that I forgot, that the Sadducees discarded any thought of anything supernatural, such as miracles or angels. But anyway, so Jesus answers them, and everybody's like, oh, well, we should stop this. This isn't really getting us anywhere. And Jesus drops kind of a truth bomb on them in verses 42 and 43. How can the Christ be David's son when David himself calls him his Lord? Jesus says, if you want a question that will really boggle your mind, think for a moment that the Son of God himself, with all power and authority, with all the eternity that is God, in essence, he is God through and through. How can that God also be David's son and yet David's Lord, the descendant of David, yet before whom David would kneel? And to think of it, that how many years, nearly 1,000 years, that King David had been in heaven and worshiping the Son of God before the Son of God took on flesh within the womb of the Virgin Mary. So when we get to this chapter, obviously we see that it's Holy Week, and we step back and smile and shake our heads that Jesus wins the argument, but see the bigger picture. That this Jesus, David's son and David's Lord, doesn't want anything to happen before his appointed time. And yet, this Jesus is the one who has an appointed time to go for you and for me to the cross, to rise from the dead, and to say, dear friend, there is an afterlife, and come on up here. You could find us Sunday morning at 2250 South Hollinsylvania Road in Maumee. You could also follow us on YouTube. Just search for Resurrection Maumee. God bless your day.